The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. If your energy level and health are not where they should be, tune into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine, and most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
Welcome back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. And today we're going to talk about creating holistic success. Before I start, I just want to remind everybody to write me an email. I created a whole new account for just you, and it's livingradiantly@gmail.com. I'm going to pick five people every week to write to or Skype with or connect with to find out what you want to learn about, or if there is something energetic that I can help you with. Okay, so creating holistic success. Creating holistic success is multidimensional. It involves exploring five key aspects of life, including spirituality, health, financial wealth, emotions and/or relationships, and joy. Each aspect of holistic success makes up a specific personal recipe that becomes your authentic signature in the world. Creating holistic success is designing an ideal life based on who you are, your highest gifts, and what motivates and excites you. It's based on your spiritual purpose and personal principles, including what you truly want to accomplish and what delights you. You can create, own, and live your personal definition of success, not a standard set by society. Creating holistic success is important to prevent you from getting pulled into the mass consciousness belief system around money, success, and accomplishment. Your holistic success will evolve as you evolve and transform as you transform. You claim your own power, stepping boldly to make your unique contribution to the world and live radiantly. So today I have a friend of mine, a new friend of mine. Her name is Umwa Luna, and she's a highly gifted speaker and author, and she teaches powerful spiritual women how to ignite their creative genius and build profitable, unique, high-end packages to attract quality clients, help more people, and have more fun. She uses her intuition to help clients clear their blocks around the money, success, and being enough so they can own the spotlight, magnetize massive wealth, and reclaim passion and pleasure in all areas of life and business. Founder of WildEmpress.com, Umwa's mission is to restore the balance of power and wealth between men and women, because men hold 99% of the wealth on the planet. She believes putting money and power into the hands of women will greatly impact world hunger, women's human rights, war, and access to healthcare and education globally. Blending deep inner work with a lucrative business strategy is her specialty. Umwa is passionate about honoring and bringing the feminine into business and considers this one of her secrets to success. To learn more about Umwa, visit www.wildempress.com. That's www.wildempress.com. Welcome, Umwa.
Wow, thank you so much, Anne. I'm really excited to be here today and I can't wait to talk about this. This is really one of the things I'm most passionate about, is creating your own definition of success. So thanks
okay.
for having me.
Well, I think, you know, this whole message is so empowering, not only for women, but for anyone, for men too, because I think we all kind of get stuck in little boxes in our lives. And sometimes we are carrying out somebody else's wishes and not our own. So to think of it that we actually have the right, and we deserve to be able to do what is right for us and what's best for us in finding who we are and what we do best and how we can make the biggest contribution in the world.
Exactly. And I think that's a great point that you made, that this isn't just for women. You know, I focus on women because of my passion about putting more wealth and power into women's hands, but men can use this information, and it's just as valuable or more valuable for men who've been taught, you know, that you have to make money and that you're only valued for your financial contribution, and that, you know, there hasn't been as much space for men to be holistic in general, you know.
Yeah, it's more you're viewed or you're valued for who you, what you do, not who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did you get to be the Wild Empress?
Well, I don't necessarily think of myself as the Wild Empress. I think of the Wild Empress as like an energy or an archetype to draw from and as a model of how I want to create success. So for me, the wild side is, you know, our animal nature, instincts, the body, a connection to the earth, that sort of thing. Because in general, we've been really divorced from that in our society. We can be very analytical and mental and in our head, and that's part of the feminine is the body. And intuition and all that is connected and lies in the body. So that's really, you know, important. And then the Empress part is about being willing to own and create your own empire and not being afraid of wanting to be big and to create something of value and having that space to own it and hold it and to be a leader. And the reason I say empress is for two reasons. One is because a queen doesn't have her own domain. She can only have a kingdom. And an empress can have an empire. And I want to build an empire, but I want it to be based on love, and I want it to be feminine. And the Empress card in the tarot deck is like the card that connects to the feminine leadership. It connects to the feminine power. So I want whatever way that I impact the world to include that, not excluding the masculine, but include the feminine, because what we traditionally do in business and in our ideas of success is very masculine. So that's what the Wild Empress is about for me.
Beautiful. So interesting. And I just want to add a point here, which I think is what you're saying, is that irregardless, we just need a balance between the feminine and the masculine.
Yeah.
It's way too in the masculine side
exactly.
right now. And, you know, we just need a balance, because I think that's where really when we have success is because we're living in a harmonious balance.
Exactly.
In whatever aspect of our lives, you know, and it's, I think it's hard to get to, because I think we're always trying, you know, we're always getting out of balance and being pulled back in, and it's a little dance to probably kind of stay balanced.
Yeah, that I agree. And I love the way that you say that, that it's a dance, and that balance is not a static place that you arrive and then you're done, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you said, a dance. It's a very, that's a great way to describe it. The other thing is, so I want to bring that up in what you said about like the balance of the masculine and the feminine. And I don't remember what it's called, but there was these experiments that were done where they had people be the prisoners, and then they had them people be the prison guards.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave the prison guards like complete control over the prisoners. And they did this experiment several times. And every time, the prison guards, no matter who they were, priests, pastors, you know, whatever, they started to abuse their power, and they started to mistreat the other people, you know. And so basically what that study demonstrates is when you have absolute power, that's when you have corruption. So that's what I feel like is part of the problem in our society with the divide between the masculine and feminine. The masculine is not bad, but when you give absolute power, then you create room for corruption. So when 99% of the wealth is in the hands of men, you're going to have that room, and you're going to create that dichotomy that creates space for corruption. So just wanted to give that as an example to, you know, further clarify the masculine feminine thing, you know.
Okay, so that's beautiful. And so let's go back to connecting to our to the nature in when we were talking about being a wild empress. And how I see that is the power in that is a very primitive power. I mean, it's not a power of control. It's a power of tapping into innate wisdom.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, we can talk about power many different ways too. And, you know, like success, it's anybody's definition, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that is true. The earth wisdom, something very deep, you know, it's very strong, and it's this resource that's readily available to all of us that we frequently don't use, and we become more and more disconnected from, you know. Like before I talk to my clients, I like to just go for a walk around the neighborhood and, you know, get clear. There's also studies that show that people actually change in nature, like their heart rates change, their blood pressure changes. Like nature has a profound, like, physiological effect on us, you know?
Mm.
And so when we take that time and energy to reconnect and recharge that way, it's very powerful. And I mean, people think I'm weird or I'm crazy, but I talk to the trees. I listen to the ocean, and I get answers that help me move forward in my life and shift things. You know, and that wouldn't happen unless I was available to really dive into what you say, that really primitive connection. And that, that, you know, brings in this other element of spirituality, and that sometimes we just want to focus on ascension and going up and outside of ourselves. And I really think there's two sides. There's like, you know, like the sun and the earth, if you want to say it that way. You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. But if you're looking at spirituality as only what's above, you're missing out on the whole, you know, plethora of experience and wisdom and knowledge. So.
Wow. Okay, so I don't really understand that. So tell me about that sun and earth and two suns. Yeah.
Okay, so sometimes, you know, when we meditate or we're in a spiritual frame of mind, we only talk about angels and spirits above, and, you know, we want to go to these astral travel and the astral planes above us and do all of these things that are either outside of our body or they're above us, you know. But that's not really using our innate physical spiritual connection, because, you know, we're all spiritual beings, but we're in a physical body. We came here to have a physical experience as spiritual beings. If it were just to be purely spiritual, then why do we have a body? You know, why are we here on earth?
Right.
So I'm really passionate about bringing that spirituality down and grounding it into physical reality. You know?
Okay. Okay, and so that's where the connection
to the earth.
Yeah, connection to the earth and connect to all nature, really, because all of that is grounding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the physical body.
And that's when you connect to maybe the rhythms of the ocean waves, or when the wind blows a tree and, you know, you see that movement. And
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the background for creating holistic success.
Okay. Well, for me, you know, I'm not a person that likes to be either or about things. I like to be in the and as being like a woman and a spiritual person and an entrepreneur, I've seen all these people pursuing success at the expense of their relationships and their health and their spirituality. And that's not what I wanted. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to be wealthy. But I didn't want to give up who I was in the process. And so I had to figure out this way of looking at it differently and to give myself permission to pursue something that I didn't quite like the end result, you know, of what I was seeing that people were doing to themselves in the process of pursuing financial wealth, you know. So I do believe that, you know, whenever you're on the path, you're going to have to work hard and make sacrifices. However, I don't believe you need to sacrifice yourself.
I totally agree with that. And so, again, it's back to the balance, balancing a lot of different aspects of your life. It isn't just about being in business or having a job or a career as the dominant part of our lives.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so many times, you know, like I see these people who've gone and created this massive wealth and success, but they're not happy, you know, or they're stunted in all these other areas and they don't know how to have a relationship with people, or they're like really obese because they have put their health completely on the back burner. So, I mean, I am all for building success holistically so that your whole life is successful, not just this one piece, you know, and then that way it, each piece feeds the other. So when you have stronger relationships, you know, that fuels you, that gives you a support system, and makes it easier for you to go out and put yourself out there in the world and do things that you're afraid of that you've never done before. And if you take care of your body, you have the actual physical energy and stamina to make that happen. And then you have a solid spiritual connection that's in alignment with what you're doing. You never feel like you're selling out, you know, and you always have a deeper meaning to whatever actions you're taking, you know, and then you're connected to your own joy and pleasure, then, you know, the same thing. It's like then you bring that fun and that life with you everywhere you go, and that attracts people and opportunities to you, you know. So as you feed all of the pieces, you know, they all feed each other. And it makes everything easier. You might not move as forward, and your trajectory in the financial wealth might not move as forward as quickly, but your foundation will be much more solid.
Right. And, you know, just go back to the joy. That's an energy that you're bringing, a very high frequency energy.
Exactly.
And when you bring that, I totally agree with that, then you attract more of that. So when you're resonating that, that's what you attract.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's go a little deeper into some of these aspects. I know we started talking about the spirituality, but how does that work with the wealth and financial aspect?
Okay. Well, a couple of things. One of the main reasons that people don't create financial wealth is that they think that it's not spiritual, or that, you know, you're a bad person if you, or you're materialistic, or even the fact that you want material things makes you a bad or not a spiritual person. So if you can, you know, really delve into your spirituality and let yourself have that connection there, then you can move towards it a lot more quickly. So, I mean, personally, I think, why would God not want me to have the best life possible? Why would God want me to not have good things, you know? So, you know, I was raised Catholic, and I had some of that sort of programming. You know, I had to get over those ideas that, you know, that being poor was honorable, and that, you know, being rich was greedy and selfish, you know. And if you really want to change the world and you want to make a big impact, it's going to be hard to do if you don't have any money or like a grasp on money, you know. There's a lot less you can do if you don't have money or access to large amounts of someone else's money.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Why do people behave the way they do? The study of human behavior is one of the most interesting facets of life. Human behavior gets played out in a limitless number of ways. Now, there's a radio program that explains the why and the how of what we do. Human Behavior, What a Trip, is hosted by Dr. Jonathan Brower and will include interesting guests as well as call interaction from people like you. Let's have fun with this together. Listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you're looking for answers and solutions, you don't have to look to expensive treatments, consultations, and methods. All you have to do is listen to your connections. Every week, the Dr. Melanie Show will teach you how to do just that. Dr. Melanie Barton will share her gifts and talents and teach you to do the same. And in doing so, find the solutions to the issues in your life that you truly need. You'll learn about holistic and practical health in six key areas. Discover the Dr. Melanie Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
Okay, you are back with Ann Dietley, and we're talking with Umwa Luna, who is the founder of Wild Empress. I love that. Go ahead.
No, I just said thank you.
I love that. And I just want to remind everybody, I've set up this email account to be able to connect to you. So please write to me, livingradiantly@gmail.com. Please write to me. I want to pick out five people every week, and I want to connect to you, and I'm going to find out how I can serve you to the best of my ability. Okay, so don't be shy. I want to hear from you. Okay, so Umwa.
Yeah.
One of your missions is, so we're kind of going along with that financial part, financial aspect. So you want to, one of your missions is to restore the balance of power and wealth between men and women. Mm-hmm. So what is your vision around this, and what are your specific goals?
Well, my specific goal is I would like for women to hold 30% of the wealth, for it to be like 30-70. So mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe that it needs to be 50-50, and I don't think that it's going to be 50-50 anytime soon, because in general, women are just less motivated by money than men are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, mm-hmm. you know, but I do think there needs to be a closer to some sort of equilibrium than like 99%. So that's my personal goal, 30%. And mm-hmm. I think that would be enough to create huge shifts. Because at this point, that's like, you know, that's like an astronomical amount, you know, even though 30% in and of itself isn't a huge percentage, you know?
Okay, so do you have a plan to help that happen? I mean, what would you do?
So, there's a two parts of it. One is to basically help all these women, especially spiritual women, start to open up to and embrace the idea that it's okay to pursue wealth and money, and to create an experience for them to be able to do that. And so that's why I'm passionate about working with women and entrepreneurs and helping them to integrate the masculine and feminine and create these high-end packages that are really unique and help them stand out and be themselves, bring all their gifts to the table, and make money with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one piece of it. And then just in general, just inviting people into, like, the pursuit of money, not as something to, not to think of it as something selfish and greedy, and for it to be okay for you to want that self for yourself and for the world, because you can't give if you don't have anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in the business realm, so on the other side of it, the other main thing is, you know, honoring all the qualities that are considered feminine, that are considered traditionally feminine, especially in the realm of business. So when we honor the feminine and we value it, then we'll translate more into the dollars, because money is just a physical representation of value. So if we as women start to first value our own feminine qualities, then there'll be that value will be reflected in society. Does that make sense?
Okay, so give us some examples of those qualities, feminine qualities.
Okay, sure. So like nurturing, tuning into your intuition, collaborating versus being in competition, those are some of the inner qualities. Listening, being a good listener, like those are all like traditionally feminine qualities, mm-hmm. that if you don't cultivate them in any sort of, endeavor, you're going to be missing out. But those haven't been traditionally valued as much mm-hmm. as, say, being like competitive and taking risks. And, being a go-getter and, being able to dominate the conversations, like that sort of more masculine energy has been like what's considered valuable. And the feminine qualities have been considered, oh, that's nice, but that's not as that's not going to, get it or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I do. Yeah. And compassion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So some of those more feminine and even just to be emotional, like, you're not supposed to be emotional. You're supposed to, hold it together is like the kind of phraseology that we use to describe how you should be. You shouldn't display too much emotions, because then if you display your emotions, that means you're out of control. So as society, we have this fear of emotions and this fear of the display of emotions, And there's so much power and information in our emotions. We just have to learn how to work with them instead of suppressing them. So that's another thing that's very feminine is the emotional side,
Yeah, and I would also add being vulnerable and authentic.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
That's a big one, being vulnerable, yes. And it's interesting because authenticity, like those are the buzzwords, that are going on in the business world right now. And transparency and all that sort of thing, because it's like people are tired of like this fake front and all this like shiny BS.
Yeah.
It's like people want the realness, they want to see behind the curtain, because they know that nobody is that, together all polished all the time, and when there's that lack of vulnerability, there's a lack of connection. So I think it's really an excellent point that you make about the vulnerability, and that's one of the big ones.
Mm.
And there's so much power in being vulnerable. And like when you're vulnerable and you share, from your heart, other people who you might not know at all, have completely different lives, different journeys, can relate when you're vulnerable, because they're like, oh, well, I felt like that too. So
right.
It's actually,
yeah. So, so again, it's going back to that building community or getting connected.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's another feminine quality that not competitive, but collaborative
exactly.
aspect. And,
yes.
When people feel safe and comfortable and they can trust each other, I think productivity goes up.
Definitely. And there's studies that verify that. And when I used to work at this job, I was a waitress, and I waited tables at this restaurant for about 7 or 8 years. And the reason I stayed there so long was because my boss was amazing, and she created that family community environment. I felt safe, and I wanted to do a good job because of her. I felt like I was valued. I wasn't just like, oh, you're the waitress, I'm the owner, so I don't care what you think or what you have to say. She would call meetings, and she would ask us what's going on, what are the customers asking for, and we would tell her, and she made the business a lot better because of that, because sometimes people are not going to tell the owner what they're going to tell the waitress,
Right,
and she
yeah.
knows we're on the front line. So her running her business like that was a very feminine thing to do, and it translated into her making a lot of money,
Mm-hmm.
So, learning how to honor those qualities and bring them into work in this feminine way is one of the things I'm very passionate about. And I agree with you. Definitely creates more productivity and also more bottom line profit.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let me just clarify. So you think that anyone can be successful and be spiritual and bring home a healthy paycheck?
Yes.
At the same time?
Yes, I think it's definitely possible. I'm not saying it's easy.
Yeah.
But yes, I think it's possible for anyone. And I think it's going to take less actual physical work and more inner work to create that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think anybody can do it, yes.
Okay, so let's use examples of like spiritual leaders that everybody would recognize. They're really spiritual people, like Mother Teresa and Mahatma Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that they were spiritual and wealthy at the same time? I mean, were they able to create holistic success?
I wouldn't say they were able to create holistic success, but I would say that they were able to bridge the gap between financial wealth and spiritual wealth. And they both did a very good job of that. I wouldn't say they had holistic success because neither one of them seemed to have very much going on in the way of relationships.
You mean romantic relationships?
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic, but neither one of them seemed like they had people that were very close to them. You don't necessarily have to be in a romantic relationship, you know.
But right, okay.
You still have your relationship in your family and people that are close to you that aren't like your people that run your organization or that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so you're being fulfilled
in
relationship.
Also, yeah, exactly. Mother Teresa, you know, I mean, both of them are controversial figures in a certain way. I don't know. Most people don't necessarily think of them that way, but I do. Mother Teresa was very adamant that she didn't think that women should be working outside the home, that they should be at home taking care of their kids. And she didn't advocate for women's, you know, rights in that sort of way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of was of that mind, like, you have to choose. Either you're going to have a family and have kids, or you could choose my kind of life, but only if you don't have that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, that's in my opinion, I don't believe in that, and that's not included in what I'm talking about, holistic success. It's like, you know, not choosing between family and love or your mission, not choosing between money or spirituality. No, like saying, I'm going to give up this part of myself to pursue that.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as Gandhi goes, you know, there's some speculation as far as him being inappropriate with young girls, and he had his whole celibacy thing, and that's another thing I don't really agree with. I think if you want to be celibate, that's fine for a number of years, but like as a lifelong thing, and men, I really don't think it's healthy, and it leads to a lot of repressed sexuality coming out in inappropriate ways, and that's a lot of what goes on with the priests and the Catholic Church, and, you know, being raised Catholic, I did get to experience some of that sort of thing, you know. So that's another piece with those two examples that's kind of missing for me, you know. My personal opinion. Everyone has different ideas about things.
I know, but this is your program. Creating holistic success is your program. So,
we
want to know what you think.
I wouldn't say that either one of them really created holistic success. I would say that they were successful in bridging the financial and the spiritual gap. That's what I would say that they, on a very massive scale, that's what I would say they were very successful at. As far as the holistic whole picture of life, I wouldn't, not so much.
Okay. Okay, so let's, you know, now that we've creating wealth, I was not aware that Mother Teresa or Mahatma Gandhi really was able, they were able to create wealth. So can you give us an example of that?
Well, I mean, Mother Teresa, like she opened, you know, thousands of centers, you know, she did all kinds of work all over the world. She didn't have a job and she was a nun. So
yeah.
The only way she was able to do that was that she was like a massive fundraiser. People sent her millions and millions of dollars from all over the world.
Okay.
So she raised, you know, massive quantities of money.
Mm-hmm.
So even though she didn't, you know, have a job or, you know, a business, quote unquote, but her charity work was her business.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
she fully embraced, you know, taking an active role to make money and raise money for all of the work she was doing around the world, and especially, you know, in Calcutta and all that stuff.
So she was able to manifest it.
Exactly. And the same thing with Gandhi. He had some very rich sponsors, I guess you could say, who also, you know, funded him with a lot of money, enabling him to do his work around the world. So, you know, they didn't go to work like a regular job. So the only way for them to do what they did on this massive level was to leverage other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they both were able to do. And they didn't say, oh, no, money's bad. And it's terrible for me to have, you know, millions of dollars in my hands, you know. And also, Mother Teresa is rumored to have flown first class and stayed in 5-star hotel rooms. And some people criticize her for that.
Really? I mean, I didn't know she did that either. So,
I mean,
interesting.
I don't know if it's rumored. It's, you know, haven't seen the receipt. But I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, if you're spending the vast majority of your hours taking care of people that are sick and dying, you know, and you're flying all over the world and you're, you know, an older woman. Mm. I don't think there's anything wrong with taking care of yourself and giving yourself that luxury and pleasure. And that maybe that was her only place where she could just do something nice for herself and relax. And have,
that's true. So in general, what do you think prevents people or limits people from making money or making the kind of money they want to?
Well, one thing is that whole idea that I have to choose between being a rich person and a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this other idea that basically, that people don't know how to do it, that like only special people have access to that, or like, you know, it's not even worth trying because you can't get there anyways, you know, those kind of ideas.
So I'm not one of the special people.
Exactly. You know, and then the other one is like worrying about your family and like, you know, if your parents couldn't do it and then you make money, this fear that, you know, somehow you're betraying them, you know, or that, you know, you're not going to be able to be close to them, or that if you make money, you're going to be successful, but you're going to be alone. You know, that like idea that like I was saying, you know, you have to choose between love or money. That's a strong one. You know, you can either be loved or you can have a lot of money. You can't have both.
Interesting.
You know, those are some of the main ones.
Yeah. Let's go a little deeper. Anything else?
As far as what prevents,
you know, what stops people. Yeah. Because I think there's so many things.
Well, there's so many things. I think that a lot of the main thing is that people don't really value who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? What I would say is people are not aligned with what their true purpose is, or their soul's purpose.
Exactly.
You know, as we said, you know, they're in a box that somebody else created for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're working and living in that box. And they should be in the circle. You know?
I agree. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And because we all have our own unique spiritual purpose to be on this planet, and it's going to be able to manifest more than one way. But I truly do believe that when you get into alignment with what you came here to do, it's going to be a lot easier for you to make money and be successful. Not necessarily in the front end, because we all have to like kind of go through our rough time, you know.
Yeah. We have to learn. We have to, you know, we have to become an expert in what we do. And
yes, you have to go on your journey,
right?
You know, but I think that's such a great point that you make, is that like you have to be following your own path. You have to be following your own purpose. You know, being in touch with what you came here to do is going to be really, it's going to make a big difference in creating success, whatever that looks like for you.
Right. Yeah. Because I think, it, you know, like things just come to you, you know, when you're in the energy of it, I guess I keep coming back to that, but it really is the energy that you create is the energy that you get.
Yeah.
And so if you're in alignment, then, you know, you're like, it's all, you know, everything's lined up. You can't make a mistake.
I think it's such a good point. And you know, it's a strange thing that I noticed that a lot of people are really good at things that they're not, it's not their trained area of expertise. And so they're afraid to claim that and to go down that path because they don't have a reason why they're good at it, a reason why they should do this, you know? And I think that fear of, like, who am I to take this on is a big thing that stops people, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't remember what the statistics are, but, you know, a high percentage of people, whatever they got their degree in college has nothing to do with what their job is.
Right.
You know, and
it helped. Yeah.
And it's that, you know, we have to, that who we are and who we are at our spiritual core, what our purpose, what our highest gifts are, sometimes don't have anything to do with our training. You know, they
right.
have more to do with our life's journey. And like for me, I don't have any degrees in what I do. All of what I do comes from my own spiritual journey, my own personal journey, my own storehouse of spiritual gifts that God gave me to bestow during this lifetime, you know, and learning how to trust in that is a doozy.
Yeah.
That's
true. Trust is a big 5-letter word, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. We're going to have to stop for a commercial and we'll be right back.
Real Life Solutions, Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you figured out what's not working in your sex life? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Tamaran has had both highs and lows in her sex life. She uses her experiences to teach you some basic techniques on how to create more fun, intimacy, and pleasure. Her guests also come from the sexual health and wellness industry. And together, Tamaran and her guests will help you get the sex life you've always longed for. Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Airs live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Every weekend, take some time out of your schedule for New Reflections featuring Dr. Adam Rubenstein. It's a show about all things aesthetic, from skincare to plastic surgery, health and beauty. You'll learn about the aesthetic products and procedures to embrace or avoid. Each show will feature live, virtual, interactive consultations that you'll be able to follow along with and featured guests from the world of beauty and aesthetics. Listen Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, for New Reflections with Dr. Adam Rubenstein on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
Hi, you are back with Energy Medicine Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and I am the Radiant Energy Doctor, and I'm trying to create positive energy everywhere so everybody wins. And we are talking today with Umwa Luna, and you can find out more about Umwa at her website, www.wildempress.com. And remember, write me an email at livingradiantly@gmail.com. I want to know how I can serve you to the best of my ability. But I can only do that if I hear from you. So please write to me. Okay, Umwa, I know that you've been able to help people make radical inner shifts and big money breakthroughs. Can you give us some examples of that?
Sure. Yeah. So I had a client that in her childhood, she had this money story that, you know, that getting money was really hard, and not just that, it was painful and a humiliating process because of, like, what she saw her mother go through. So we did some work around this money story, this belief, and she was able to double the rate she was charging her clients. And shortly after we did this work, she said that she wasn't having to work so hard anymore. She was showing up, she was following, you know, spirit and her guidance, and then people just started to come to her, and they were willing to pay this double rate from what she had been charging before.
So what do you think the inner shift was? I mean,
it was about letting go of that old story from her childhood that making money had to be difficult and painful and dirty and humiliating.
Okay, so that was a subconscious belief or a limiting belief?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So letting go of that for her. You know?
So how do you help people do that?
Well, I'm very passionate about the body, and I believe that any old energy, stuck energy, is held in the body.
Mm.
So I have all of my clients dance, and I use a combination of techniques that I created myself and some martial arts healing modality type things. I don't know how to describe them, as they're not really modalities, but some techniques that some other healers use that I learned. I combine their techniques with my own techniques with dance and movement to really help people get into the body and release these on a deep cellular level. So it's actually physically letting go of these beliefs. And that's what I do. That's probably different than what a lot of people do in working with beliefs, is that it's not just in your mind or your head, it's in your body.
Yeah, there's a PhD doctor, Candace Pert, who says your body is your body is the conscious mind or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So usually we, you know, when we're trying to shift or change things, we just interact with our head. And there's so much wisdom and so much knowledge in our whole body. And so if we're willing to really be in our bodies and deal with what's coming up and feel what's going on there, we're actually able to move and shift and let go very quickly.
So when they're dancing and they're thinking about these beliefs,
oh, yeah, I wouldn't say thinking, but I would say connecting, because my whole goal is
connecting.
To be out
okay.
of thinking mode.
Okay, right. And I think it's energy.
Oh, it's, definitely. It's definitely energy work. It's energy work that's really oriented in the physical body.
Mm.
You know, that's one aspect. That's not all of what I do, but that's the main deeper mm-hmm. energetic piece that mm-hmm. I focus on.
So is there another example that you have, another client?
Yeah.
That...
So I had another client that she wasn't making very much money, even though she, you know, had every reason to be making money. She had all the credentials. She had everything. And then we actually, with her, what we worked on shifting was more of her connecting two sides of herself, like her former self, and then there was like her new invention of herself. And so what we worked on doing is connecting those two parts of her, so she wasn't living out of one aspect or the other. So, and then when we focused on that, we do the same thing, working through dance.
Mm-hmm.
With her, there was less need to let go. She didn't have such a strong money story.
Mm-hmm.
Hers was about like letting these two identities work together in herself, because they were both really strong and powerful, but they were working against each other. Once we were able to kind of get them to come together and see that they had a common goal, and her income totally skyrocketed. Her business took off. She made like $20,000 within a few months from,
wow.
you know, barely making anything. And now her business is just doing really, really well. And she is creating this, you know, change in the world that she wanted to create. So that sort of stuff is just you know.
Wonderful. Oh, I love that. Okay. So that's interesting. Both sides of the body weren't communicating, aren't connecting. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we have enough time for an exercise. If you could lead the listeners into an exercise.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do an exercise to kind of just get you to get in touch with yourself, because you can get all these answers yourself. It's easier if someone's guiding you. But so let's just do an exercise to get you connected to yourself through your body. Okay. So if you're in a place where you can close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Let them out with a loud sigh or an audible exhale. That really just helps you to unwind your whole body. Now, I want you to imagine that you're in a beautiful place, some place that you love, whether it's a white sand beach or a tropical island or an enchanted forest or a beautiful mansion, whatever works for you. And I want you to imagine that you are in this place and you feel so alive and you feel so free and so happy and really connected to your body. And I want you to imagine moving around and just enjoying how good it feels to move. And if you want to kind of mimic those motions in real life too, that's fine if you have space or if you're in somewhere where you can do that. And you just let yourself be in this high vibration. Now I want you to imagine something that's bothering you, something you've been worried about. And just keep breathing. And when you're in this heightened state, I want you to allow yourself to tune into where in your body this worry or this anxiety or heaviness is in your body. And then just tune your energy into wherever that place is in your body. And then place your hand on that place. So it might be in your throat, your heart, your belly, maybe your knees or your back. Wherever it is, put your hand on that part of your body. Just continue to breathe into it. Don't try and make it go away. Don't try and make that uncomfortable feeling go away. Actually, I want you to do the opposite. Just tune into it. When you think about that thing that's upsetting you or bothering you. And then I want you to ask that part of your body where you're feeling that energy, what is a message that it wants to give you? What does it want you to know? You should probably get a pretty clear answer. And then you want to ask it, I want you to imagine asking that feeling that's located in that part of that body. What does it want? What does it need? What is it calling out for? Every feeling is calling for something. And then ask it for a practical step that you can do to move yourself forward with this issue. Then after you hear the answer, make sure that you say thank you. And then I want you to imagine that you're sending healing energy through your hand that's still on that part of your body into that feeling. And I want you to send that feeling love and gratitude. And I don't want you to force it to go away. I just want you to send it love and gratitude. And as it's heard and as it's held in love and gratitude, you will find that it will most likely start to ease and fall away on its own. So remember the message, say thank you, release with love, and then come back to the present moment.
Yeah, okay, now we only have 1 minute left. I think that was really powerful because I do agree that your body is talking to you all the time. Mm-hmm. Pain is another example of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a message for you. Yeah, and you can ask very similar questions that you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just want to summarize by just saying that creating holistic success, I can't say it. Creating holistic success is very different for everybody, but it takes five different aspects that all should be in balance. Nothing should be out of balance, and you should be really looking at all five aspects. And thank you so much for joining us, Umwa, and for, you know, I'd love to see you dancing with your clients and getting rid of some of these, their things in their bodies. It's a really powerful image that I have about doing that. And I just want to remind everybody to live radiantly. That's the main thing. All these different shows are revolving around different ways for you to learn how to live radiantly. And Umwa has a wonderful new concept of this creating holistic success to help live radiantly. We didn't really talk. We talked a little bit about pleasure and joy, but joy has to be a part of anything that you're doing. And I'm not just talking about the emotion of joy. I'm talking about the state of being joy.
Right.
Remember to write to me at livingradiantly@gmail.com and send me all that you think about joy too. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Umwa.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. And thanks everyone for tuning in. Have a great night.
No, thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in.